Hello. It's another bonus edition of the Get Ready for Sunday series from Corpus Christi Catholic Church in Tucson, Arizona. I'm Deacon Mark with Corpus Christi. This is the Get Ready for Good Friday episode, because it is now Good Friday of the Lord's Passion. It is the day of the year we commemorate the day Jesus died on the cross. The purpose of his earthly mission, to restore broken humanity to right relationship with God, and to do so by demonstrating the unfathomable love of God, has come to this. Good Friday is a solemn day. It's the only day in the entire year in which no Mass is celebrated, no Eucharistic elements are consecrated. The liturgical season of Lent ended last night, but our Lenten fast continues. This is a day of both fasting and abstinence. During the day, we find time to spend with Jesus and walk the stations of the cross with him. We remember how he carries our crosses. We, perhaps, allow some greater appreciation of his suffering to enter into our consciousness. At Corpus Christi in Tucson, our youth group leads a walk through our desert meditation path at high noon, carrying a cross and stopping at each of the stations along the way. Today, in our desert, this will be a hot, dusty walk. The 12th station on our path, remembering the moment of Jesus' death, looks out across our desert to the distant mountains, and perhaps brings to mind the summit of sacrifice endured for us. At the Friday evening service inside the church, we specifically remember and commemorate Jesus' death on the cross. It is the one day of the year when the community gathers for the sole purpose of formally venerating Jesus on the cross, the murder weapon. Just like Holy Thursday, the church uses the same three readings and psalm response for this service every year. The first reading is from Isaiah's description of the suffering servant. The Jewish people read it as a reference to many things, including their own gathered community throughout history. The Christian interpretation is very much a singular understanding. In these verses, we who hope to follow Jesus see how Jesus, God's servant, suffered to open the gates of paradise to his people, all people who follow in his path. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond human semblance, and his appearance beyond that of the sons of man, so shall he startle many nations. Because of him kings shall stand speechless, for those who have not been told shall see, those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by people, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom people hid their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured, while we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent, and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away, and who would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sin of his people, a grave was assigned him among the wicked, and a burial place with evildoers, though he had done no wrong nor spoken any falsehood. But the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death, and was counted among the wicked. And he shall take away the sins of many, and win pardon for their offenses. The psalm response is David's prayer of distress to God, while King Saul and his men were pursuing him. In it, the psalmist both asks God to save him from his enemies and offers thanksgiving to God. In Luke's gospel account, Jesus will utter these words as he dies on the cross. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. For all my foes, I am an object of reproach, a laughingstock to my neighbors and a dread to my friends. They who see me abroad flee from me. I am forgotten like the unremembered dead. I am like a dish that is broken. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness. Take courage and be stout-hearted, all you who hope in the Lord. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. In the passage we read, St. Paul reminds the early Jewish Christians how Jesus, through his obedience and death, has provided a path to salvation for them all. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. In the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The Gospel reading on Good Friday is St. John's account of Christ's passion and death. As you listen to this reading, there are some distinct differences in John's account as compared to Matthew's, Mark's, or Luke's. For example, Jesus dies on a different day in John's Gospel than in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. In John's account, Jesus is on the cross and dies on the day of preparation, before the beginning of Passover. And in the three synoptic Gospels, Jesus actually eats a Passover meal before he dies. In John's Gospel, he does not. The Last Supper takes place before the beginning of Passover. The sequence of events leading up to the actual crucifixion are quite different in John's Gospel. The day leading up to the Passover meal is the day when all lambs are slaughtered, and everyone goes to the great temple to get their lamb for the Passover meal. In Jerusalem, this would have meant thousands of lambs being slaughtered on a single day. In John's Gospel, this is the day that Jesus is crucified. Literally, in John's Gospel, Jesus hangs on the cross while the Passover lambs are being slaughtered. John's Gospel tells us very directly to think of Jesus as a Passover lamb. Jesus does not eat a Passover meal. Jesus is the Passover meal. Does that sound a little overdramatic? Consider the theme of Lamb of God and Passover symbolism that runs throughout St. John's Gospel. From the very first scene of his Gospel, when Jesus enters the story for the first time, he comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. When the Baptist sees Jesus, he proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." A full-length proclamation of today's Gospel is posted in a file on the same page from which you got this audio. In the evening service, following the veneration of the cross, Jesus, in the form of the reserved consecrated host, is removed from its place of repose and distributed to those in attendance. There is no Eucharistic prayer, no consecration of new elements. After we have received communion, we return any remaining communion hosts to the tabernacle, which now, because it has been empty, represents the empty tomb in which Jesus was laid. We remember the hours during which Jesus was gone from this world. We all leave the church in silence.